It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Boomer Sooner and War Eagle. This weekend, in week number 4, we are going to be doing a deep dive into Oklahoma and Auburn and the return of Jackson Arnold back to Oklahoma this evening. This is the 4th overall meeting of the teams, and all of them have been won by the Sooners. This is Auburn's first trip up to Norman. We will be joined by James Hale from Oklahoma and Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, to do a preview of Oklahoma and Auburn right now on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look, no.
Heath, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside the Hump Day edition of the Stingray Show. Heath, you're over there laughing, as it is the Wednesday evening edition of the Stingray Show. We are coming off of Hey Coach right here in Tuscaloosa. We want to thank all of you for staying tuned. And Heath, did you happen to hear the unfortunate news that happened yesterday in the world of Hollywood and celebrity?
Yeah, we're kind of on a down streak. We're not going to stay on that long. But yeah, the great Robert Redford, no longer with us.
That is correct. Robert Redford has died at the age of 89 years old. The film icon starred in classic movies such as Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid, All the President's Men, and he won an Oscar for directing Ordinary People.
And my favorite Robert Redford film, of course, is The Natural. You know, Roy Hobbs, the 40-year-old rookie here. I think he was in his 30s, but what a wonderful movie that was. I didn't agree with a lot of things with Robert Redford, but he put out some great movies, entertained us all. And I was a little bummed. And for the note, Stephen, if you're ever playing Trivial Pursuit, because I've won Trivial Pursuit on this question, name the team that Robert Redford played for in The Natural. And the answer is the New York Knights. So there you go. Maybe you can win Trivial Pursuit now.
Thank you for that. All right. Are you ready to do college football history on September the 17th?
Well, as you know, if you listen to the show, I don't know Jack Diddley Poo Squat, what Steven's about to throw out to me. Before I had kids in 2008 and before, I can remember most of these games. After 2008 and even last week, I can't remember Jack Diddley Poo. So with that, Steven, I am ready for the history of college football today.
Can you tell me what major event happened surrounding college football on September the 17th of 1955?
Whoa, that's 20 years before I was born. It was a big event, 1955?
Yes.
I'm going to say college football was played on television. I have no idea.
The first color televised football game, and it featured two top 10 teams, number 10 Georgia Tech and number 9 Miami. The game aired on NBC, and Georgia Tech won 14-6 after a huge play of a fumbled punt that was scooped up by Georgia Tech Paul Rottenberry for a 48-yard touchdown run despite penalty flags being on the field. And then Georgia Tech secured the victory with a Jimmy Morris returned interception 25 yards for a touchdown, and Georgia Tech beat Miami 14-6 on the first color televised football game.
Wow. I will try and look on YouTube to see if there's anything from that game on YouTube, and I will post it to the Stingray Facebook page.
All right. Now, when we move to 1988, can you tell me what happened on college football history?
See, University of Houston had a good quarterback. BYU had a good quarterback. Miami had a good team, loaded team, that is. Does it have anything involved with those three?
Oh.
It's another wide right game, isn't it?
No.
So Florida State. All right, don't tell me. Florida State in 88. Let's see. This is pre-Charlie Ward. Charlie Ward was there in 93.
I'll give you a hint.
Peter Tom Willis is quarterback. He played for the Bears for a little bit.
It was against number 3 Clemson, if that helps.
This game was televised, and Bobby Bowden ran a fake punt late in this game. Yeah, I remember this. I remember this vividly. Fake punt late in this game.
Deep,
almost against his goal line. Like, no one thought it was coming, and turned the game around and won. Am I right?
Bobby Bowden called a fake punt on his own 21-yard line to beat number 3 Clemson with a final score of 28-21.
That's insane.
I'm sorry. 24-21.
On his 21-yard line. I remember it was late in the game. I remember it was in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
But on the 21-yard line.
Yes, his own 21 now.
Yeah. I mean, no one's going to punt on the other 21, but yeah. but that's, wow. Wow.
All right. Now, Heath, what other major thing happened with another legendary coach on this day in 1966?
Now, see, this is before I was born here. So, 1966.
This guy is in the Hall of Fame.
Offense or defense?
Coach.
Okay. Of course, you got Bobby Dodd. You've got, you've got so many great people. I just hit me with it because I could sit here for hours and think about this one.
Joe Pa secured his first ever victory as a Penn State head coach with a 15-7 win over Maryland.
Joe Paterno.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Joe Pa. What, man. You know, it's crazy how all that stuff went down after he retired and right before he passed away.
Yep.
But, wow. Joe Pa, remember the good times.
So unfortunately, it is time for us to throw it to the first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be previewing the Oklahoma and Auburn game from the Oklahoma side as James Hale, longtime Oklahoma reporter, will join us from Norman. And then later on, Andy Burcham will join us on the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let certified chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for congestion south on I-359, heading from Stillman to the 2059. It's a 13-minute drive. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's an 8-minute drive. East on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 13-minute drive. And crews are doing work on McWrights Ferry Road. It's being extended to Rice Mine Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
And with that little bit of Boomer Sooner right there, want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show. And now, let's do a preview of Oklahoma and Auburn this weekend there in Norman, as we are going to start with the Oklahoma Sooners, as I'm about to be joined by James Hale, who is a longtime Oklahoma reporter and writer for Oklahoma Football Brainiacs. James, how are things there in Norman as you guys await the Auburn Tigers and the return of your former quarterback, Jackson Arnold?
Man, they're great. We're just coming off a great victory against Michigan, man. And that was one of the great atmospheres that we've had in a long time. And the Sooners resembled some of the great football teams that Oklahoma's had. I've covered Oklahoma since 1975, so I got to go to every day at practice with the great Barry Switzer and those guys, with, you know, the Selman brothers, Jimbo Elrod, Joe Washington, Steve Davis, running the greatest wishbone offense in the history of college football. And, I've always been around this OU football program and everything that it's been doing. So Brent Venables, I've known him ever since he, you know, first came on at OU. I got a hold of him the first day he was hired. He was on his way to Norman. That was a tough decision that he made with Bill Snyder. And I get a hold of him and he goes, "How'd you get my phone number?" And I said, "Coach, I can't tell you that." And he goes, even if I can run you down and put you in a headlock." And I said, "Absolutely. I still can't tell you." And so he appreciated that, man. And, you know, and we talked and, you know, and we've been, I consider him a friend. He's a really good guy. He's a faith-based guy. His wife, Julie, has fought breast cancer, you know, brilliantly. And I think she's doing much better now. But that's his life. And it's been a tough go for him at OU with those things that have been going on in his life. But, you know, she's, you know, right now, I think, has a clean bill of health. And because of that, you know, he's coaching defense and he's calling defense. He's got a great defense, several guys that's been in his defense for a while. And he's got an offense with Ben Arbuckle running it, John Mateer at quarterback. And he may have one of those generational quarterbacks that OU's had throughout its history. And this looks like a really good football team at OU.
James, if you would, talk about the dynamic of this game with Jackson Arnold leaving the program, going to Auburn, and now then coming back home where he was the hero last year of that Alabama game.
Well, you know, Jackson Arnold had a tough go last year. He lost his wide receivers. He lost his offensive line. Nobody can survive that. I mean, I don't know if Baker Mayfield would have been good with that. You know, that's a tough deal. And so OU had rookie quarterbacks. They had, and Seth Luttrell is a good friend of mine, was the offensive coordinator, but he was also the quarterback coach, and he's never been a quarterback coach. And you have all those injuries, and you don't really have a quarterback coach. That doesn't really work out. And so when Brent made the tough decision to get rid of a good friend in Seth Luttrell, and he brought in Joe John Finley, and Kevin Johns became the quarterback coach, things got better for Jackson, but still nothing improved in the offensive line. Well, it did. They went with an offensive line in the final five games, and so it worked out. But the wide receivers never came back, and so you always had those rookies in there. And so Jackson just wasn't enjoying himself. He, you know, he was getting hammered. He was getting hit. You know, he kind of, you know, I don't know if he withdrew from the football team, but, you know, he told us, he goes, "The only people I really deal with are my girlfriend, my parents. And, you know, I don't really deal with anything else." And I think he was talking about us in the media and things like that. But anybody that knew football knows that offense was destined for failure when you lost many key players. And so Jackson, 2 days after the last game, said he was transferring out. Brent went on the search, brings in Ben Arbuckle, who got here before the bowl game. Michael Hawkins took over at quarterback. And, of course, Michael replaced Jackson for 2.5 games as the starting quarterback and actually led was the quarterback against Auburn. And, you know, so when all that transpired, it's not surprising Jackson left. This football team loves Jackson Arnold. He was their quarterback last year. They don't have a problem with Jackson Arnold. This day of transferring, the players understand it better than you and I and the rest of us do.
Yeah.
Loyal to our football programs. They understand it. They're not mad at him. And plus, John Mateer has came in and been everything you want in a quarterback. He's been a leader. He has been transitional. He has been he's been a coach. He's been everything for these guys. And so the dynamic is this. They want to beat his brains in this Saturday, and they're going to root for him every game outside of that. They want him to have great success. They don't want him to have great success Saturday.
Right.
You know, they like him. There's guys that I bet you, you know, I don't know if you guys have asked him this week, but I bet you if you do, he'll tell you he still talks with those guys quite a bit, you know, every week. And they ask him how he's doing. Every player we talk to wished him success except for Saturday. You know, when you talk to a guy like Kobe McKenzie, the middle linebacker, and you talk to Robert Spears Jennings, who is a safety on this team, they talk about knocking his head off, but they also talking about they hope he has great success at Auburn, and they think he's going to play in the league someday. So they really like him. They're just not going to like him Saturday.
Right. James, looking at that whole thing with Jackson Arnold, can we just talk about the last few hours, days, weeks, months when he was there at OU? Like, I know that things weren't working on offense, but he was a starter. He wasn't. He looked great. He had some big wins. Then he was benched. And all of it leading up to the transfer portal, what happened there with Jackson Arnold when he was at Oklahoma?
What happened was is that he had all these great expectations. He comes in as a five-star out of Denton Geyer. He goes to the Elite 11 camp and dominates it. He has all the arm talent you want. And he comes to OU and everything is set up. And then, boom, all his wide receivers get hurt. Every key wide receiver that was going to play got hurt. He's playing with freshman receivers. Those are not the guys he trained with all summer. And then his offensive line loses four starters. And that challenges even the greatest of offensive line coaches. And
right.
He had no chance, as Brent Venables says often, a quarterback can't win by himself.
Right.
And it didn't matter how good Jackson was, so he wasn't getting protected, so he wasn't looking downfield. He was getting hit. He got a little squeamish. That's to be expected, man. He has the turnovers against South Carolina. Brent makes the spontaneous but tough decision to pull him. I'm surprised he didn't leave then. You know, he's a five-star. He's the best quarterback in the country. But to his credit, he just practiced harder. And eventually, when Michael struggled and failed, they put Jackson back in. And Jackson quarterbacked the rest of the year. He, you know, dealt with us the rest of the year. Everything was good until the final game, when he and his parents just decided that it wasn't a good run. They probably didn't like the fact that they got benched, and they decided to leave. There really wasn't really any controversy about it because we didn't get a chance to talk to him. Nobody tried to track him down or anything. He entered the transfer portal, and what? In 1 week, he was at Auburn and had committed to Auburn. And so everybody just kind of moved on. We were already into our next thing. It was either going to be Michael Hawkins, or Michael Hawkins was going to be the quarterback in the bowl game. And you were wondering who the offensive coordinator was going to be, because would that offensive coordinator bring a quarterback? And, of course, that's exactly what Ben Arbuckle did. He brought John Battier with him. So it really wasn't a controversial thing necessarily, except for the fact they paid him a lot of money. And this is how you always think about it today, right? You know, you always think about the money guys are getting through the NIL. He was a high-priced quarterback, and it didn't work out. And now he's at Auburn, and OU's got a new quarterback. And OU feels like they've actually got somebody that's better for them in the next this year or next.
So we've got to take yet another break. And when we come back, we are going to dive into the matchup versus Auburn. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Be back in a flash. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha Agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha Agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Hey, it's Chris.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One. One together. And with that, I want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show on this Wednesday evening. We are doing a preview of Oklahoma and Auburn, and let's continue our interview with James Hale of Oklahoma Football Brainiacs talking about the Auburn matchup. What concerns you that Auburn could take advantage of Oklahoma this Saturday?
You know, look at Auburn, you know, Jackson's got a healthy unit around him, right? He's got an offensive line. He's got healthy receivers. He's got a running back that just ran for what? What did he rush for last year? 169, something like that, 119. You know, so you know, Auburn's got personnel. He's got pro receivers. The concern is that Jackson is using his leg and running the football and doing what, you know, he should have been doing at OU. OU's got to guard against that. That's an extra guy that OU's got to be concerned with, and his ability to rush the football. And OU's got to be able to control the ball on their line, on their side of the ball. John Battier has to be as good as he's been. John Battier has been a Heisman Trophy candidate so far through three games at OU. He has been spectacular. He's been great. Can he run like he's been running against Auburn? Auburn has a solid defense. I don't know, guys. You tell me, how good your defense this year? You gave up 315 in your last game. You gave up 15 points in your last game. So how good is Auburn's defense? I don't know. You know, we'll find out, right? So, but Auburn offensively will go vertical. They'll stress the OU defense, which the other three teams have not been able to do so far. And OU's got a freshman starting at corner. They've got some guys coming back at corner that haven't played a lot. And so I think the matchup within the matchup, we think this defense is special. Will it be special enough to keep Jackson in the pocket? Can they keep him in check? Can they get after him and get him squeamish where he's thinking about where's that rush coming from? Can Auburn offset that by running your tail back like you've run him so far? Auburn will be the most physical downhill running team. Michigan was like that. As Brent pointed out yesterday, Michigan ran basically two plays. Auburn runs a bunch of running plays. And so that's going to be interesting to where they come from. Brent is an interesting defensive coordinator. I've covered him forever. I've listened to him. It's a complicated defense. But he's always telling me, man, he goes, look, if you run this defense a bunch and you play your position and you know what you're doing, you can run it. And he's got a bunch of guys that know how to run it. And so it's going to be interesting to see. Auburn will challenge OU, though, more than anybody else, and we're going to find out more about OU's defense this Saturday.
Looking at this matchup in this game, I think this is a slam dunk for Oklahoma, which now concerns me because I'm rarely ever right. So with that, how do you see this thing shaking out, and what is Oklahoma going to expose with Auburn?
Well, I think you're going to find out, more about Jackson Arnold than you've known so far, right? I mean, you're going to find out, is he really the five-star great quarterback that he was at Denton Guyer? I mean, Denton Guyer smoked Little Elm, Texas, where John Mateer played. We asked Mateer about that the other day, and he goes, man, he goes, he said he had Eli Bowen, he had Jackson Arnold. He goes, they beat the snot out of us at Little Elm. You're just looking at him, he's going, I think I'm in a better position now at Oklahoma. We're going to be able to compete better, and so we'll see. But I think you're going to find out what you have in Jackson Arnold. Is Jackson going to stand tall? Will he take that punishment that he's going to get hit? He's going to get hit. OU's defensive line is the number one defensive line in the country. They've got pros, David Stone, Dominique Williams. Heck, their best defensive end can't even play in the first half, and they're not sweating it because they have four other defensive ends. They think they can play. This is the first year Brent's been trying to build this defense for 3 years to get to this point. He's at this point now. OU wasn't recruiting defensive ends defensive linemen during the Lincoln Riley era. They only had one defensive end or defensive lineman that was over 300 pounds during Brent's first year. He's had to build this defense from scratch. Now they have several guys over 300 pounds. They have several guys the NFL likes. And so you're going to find out if Jackson is the real deal. We think he is. We just don't want him to be great this Saturday, but we think Jackson's really good. If Jackson was still the quarterback at OU, everybody would be okay with it.
Yeah.
Jackson is a really good player. And so Hugh Freeze is a really good offensive coach. What can he generate against the OU defense? And then is your defense going to be good? John Mateer's a special guy. We know that you have pro players on your defensive front. You have a defensive end that's really, really good. We know that. So with that being the case, will Oklahoma be able to do the things offensively that they've normally been able to do? So I think all those things are going to be in play this week. And I think you're going to find out a lot more about Jackson Arnold. We just hope that, again, they've said it repeatedly. They just don't want him to have success Saturday.
James, as we walk out the door, how do you see it playing out there in Norman, Oklahoma this Saturday?
I think OU is going to win. The debate I have is, will OU cover the 6.5? That's to me a lot of points in this game. It was a great game in Auburn, Alabama last year. You guys probably didn't think so, but it was a great game that went back and forth. There had to be a lot of big plays in that game. Michael came up big in that game, but I like OU in this game because I trust Mateer is going to be as good as advertised, that the offense is going to, put up points. If the offense is going to control the board. This is the first year, guys, since Brent's been there, that OU's playing complimentary football. They did pretty much with Dylan Gabriel 2 years ago when they beat Texas. And, they were pretty good playing complimentary football that year, and they won 10 games. And yet that defense is not as good as this defense.
Right.
That defense doesn't look like it's as good as this year's offense. And so I'm going to take OU to cover. I think OU is going to win the game 29-20.
James, look, man, thank you for joining us. Good luck to the Boomer Sooner this weekend. They're at home with Jackson Arnold coming back to town, and we would love to catch up with you later on to continue to talk about Boomer Sooner.
Hey, we look forward to it, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great day and have a great road trip. See ya.
All right.
Thank you, James.
All right. So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the Oklahoma side of this matchup. I really do want to thank James Hale for joining us on this edition of the Stingray Show. When we come back, we are going to be joined the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Mr. Andy Burcham, will be on deck to join us right after this to talk about Jackson Arnold, Hugh Freeze, and the Auburn Tigers.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, Alabama's back out on their practice field preparing for Georgia. We'll cover that. We'll also talk with Connor O'Gara. We'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. And we'll talk to Aaron Torres starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for congestion south on I-359, heading from Stillman to the 2059. It's a 13-minute drive. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's an 8-minute drive. East on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 13-minute drive. And crews are doing work on McWrights Ferry Road. It's being extended to Rice Mine Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up talking about this matchup from the Oklahoma perspective. Now, let's talk about it from Auburn, Hugh Freeze with Jackson Arnold. And to do that, we are about to be joined by our good friend and well-known voice of the Auburn Tigers, Mr. Andy Burcham. Andy, how are things with you down on the loveliest village on the plains?
Doing very well. Looking forward to the SEC opener. Looking forward to Auburn's first ever trip to Norman, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma Memorial Stadium, and what should be a big, big matchup, a top 25 matchup with the Oklahoma Sooners on Saturday afternoon.
Andy, if you would briefly recap the first 3 weeks of this season for the Auburn Tigers and what you have liked about this football team.
I like the fact that this defense has done a really good job stopping the run. in the first three games. Auburn is among the best in the country at stopping the run. And I know it will face the best overall team that Auburn has faced so far on Saturday in Oklahoma, both offensively and defensively. I like the fact that Auburn has done what it has needed to do from an offensive standpoint. At Baylor, it was run the football, and Auburn did that very well, and Auburn pulled out a big win on the road on opening night. And then in the two home games, it threw the ball very efficiently against Ball State and against South Alabama. Auburn was able to control the clock in that game. So that's what I liked what I've seen from Auburn.
Yeah.
From a defensive standpoint, some of the things that concern you going into this one, the 30 missed tackles against Baylor that Auburn has improved upon in its last two ball games. But especially in the Baylor game and somewhat in the South Alabama game, Auburn's pass defense. And that is concerning considering what Auburn is about to face in John Mateer in Oklahoma on Saturday afternoon.
Andy, I mentioned this to James, who covers Oklahoma. Hugh Freeze has made a living, and a great living at that, where all the things are stacked against him, all the odds are against him, and he finds a way to win. Now, he hasn't really done that much at Auburn, but we've seen him do this at other stops. What makes Hugh Freeze so insanely good in these contests? And have you picked up anything? Have you picked up a vibe from him this week? Is there anything that you kind of caught on that kind of raised your alley? Oh, yeah, this is going to be a good weekend.
Well, not necessarily what I picked up this week, but this is Auburn's best football team in a while, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the best talent that Hugh Freeze has had at Auburn. I think it's the best quarterback that he's had at Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Auburn is running the ball as well as it's run at Auburn. I think Auburn up front defensively is the best that it has been at Auburn. So, and then it's the best wide receiving core that he has had at Auburn. And I think Auburn is better up front offensively than Auburn has been in recent years. So I just think this is a better football team from a talent perspective going to Oklahoma. Does that mean that Auburn will win that game? Not necessarily, but I think Auburn is more equipped to win this game now than it has been in Hugh Freeze's first two seasons. At all. Guys, this is going to be a really good game. This is two really good football teams. I know Oklahoma's a really good football team.
Yeah.
And it's going to be there. It's going to be a great atmosphere in Norman, Oklahoma on Saturday afternoon. Auburn will be the underdog. Okay, that stands to reason. I understand that. But the one thing here, and you asked me originally, what I've liked about this Auburn team in the first three games, and the thing that jumps off the page more than anything else, and it may completely change on Saturday. But when I think back to last season, especially that month of September, where Auburn had close losses to Cal, Arkansas, and this Oklahoma team, turnovers absolutely killed Auburn in all of those games. And I especially think about the Oklahoma game that Auburn is up double digits in the fourth quarter and then throws a 63-yard pick six or 65-yard pick six. I don't want to take away 2 yards of that to Kip Lewis. That gives Oklahoma the lead for good, and Auburn never recovers from that. Auburn right now is +2 in turnover margin this season. Auburn was dead last in this statistic a year ago, and it was by a large margin that Auburn was last in the league in turnover margin. That may be one of the biggest improvements. Now, all of that to say, Auburn hasn't faced an SEC game yet.
Right.
And the competition for the next seven games picks up immensely for the Tigers. But I like that trend. You cannot turn the ball over in this league and survive. And we know that because we saw that from Auburn a year ago.
Andy, a super quick follow-up. If, let's just say, Auburn has zero turnovers in this game with Oklahoma, what do you think the score would be?
Ooh, I don't think this is a high-scoring game.
Okay. Right?
I think this is one of those old-fashioned, it gets into the double figures. But if Auburn's going to win this game, I don't think it goes out and just outscores Oklahoma and beats them in the 30s. Maybe I'm wrong there. I think for Auburn to win this game, they've got to keep it down. They've got to find a way to control. I don't think you stop him, but I think you've got to find a way to control John Mateer on Saturday. And also, let me say this. I don't think you've seen all of Auburn's offense either. Yeah. I don't think Auburn had to show all of its offense against Ball State. I don't think he's had to see. I don't think you saw all of Auburn's offense last week against South Alabama. And against Baylor, it was just primarily the run game. I think we see a different, I hope we see a more balanced and a more explosive Auburn offense starting Saturday at Oklahoma.
Andy, you watch Auburn almost, I mean, you're the voice of the Auburn Tigers. Where are you most concerned about this team going into Oklahoma, that Oklahoma could potentially take advantage of them? You did talk about the missed tackles against Baylor, but what else?
Well, Oklahoma's offense is as good as Auburn has faced this season, and it's a balanced offense. And John Mateer is the best dual threat quarterback that Auburn has faced, because not only has he thrown for over 900 yards in his first three games, he's also rushed for four touchdowns. I mean, this is a true dual threat quarterback, and I think he has it. He has the it factor. I mean, he had it at Washington State. They bring the Washington State offensive coordinator in. John Mateer comes with, and he's doing it. He's doing exactly what he did at Washington State, now at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He, to me, is my biggest concern because of what he can do. You cannot let this guy get out of the pocket. If you do that, you're in some trouble, because he can hurt you with his legs as much as he can hurt you with his arm. Auburn has, at times, especially across the middle, been susceptible to those routes. We saw it against Baylor. We saw it a little bit last week against South Alabama. That, to me, is one of the concerns that I have. Auburn has to do a better job of covering the middle of the field in its past defense. I'm not going to say that it's a concern, the Oklahoma run game, because Auburn has done a good job against that. But this is also the best run game that Auburn has seen this season, with Blaylock and Ott and Mateer, the quarterback, running the football. And Kanick, the tight end, is a fascinating story. He leads the team, I believe, with 245 yards receiving. And he was a linebacker for 3 years at Oklahoma, for goodness sakes. A quarterback and a linebacker in high school in Hayes, Kansas. He comes to Oklahoma, is a really good linebacker, over 100 tackles in his career. And this year moves to tight end and is their leading receiver in the number of yards that he has.
Yeah.
That's an odd route from linebacker to tight end, but he's a good one. And we saw what the tight end can do to Auburn in the Baylor matchup. So that is a bit of a concern for me. I understand how good Oklahoma is defensively. I think this is a good Auburn offense as well. I'm not going to just completely concede this game to Oklahoma because of Oklahoma's defense. Not saying it's not a good one. It is, but I think this is a good Auburn offense as well.
Andy, we're not going to ask you, because you don't do score predictions.
You're right, I don't.
Right. But break down how you see it playing out Saturday there in Norman, please.
In the two games that Auburn defensively has, they kind of raised some concerns, in both of those games, Baylor and South Alabama, there have been some missed assignments. Also remember this about last week's ball game. Did not have Champ Anthony. Jay Crawford may have played the first series and then did not play the rest of the ball game. Didn't have Rayshon Pleasant in that ball game. Probably lost to Morris Williams. I don't know if he will play on Saturday. Auburn played a little shorthanded last week against South and still won that ball game and controlled that game. Here's the one thing that I think is an enormous key on Saturday, and just because of what we saw from a year ago, and I mentioned it, I think turnovers is a big, big factor, especially for Auburn on Saturday. Oklahoma has turned the ball over. Oklahoma's last in the league. They're minus five in turnover margin. That doesn't seem to have hurt Oklahoma so far. So I think turnovers is an enormous factor on Saturday. Auburn cannot turn the ball over against Oklahoma. If Auburn does turn the ball over, I think it's tough for the Tigers to win in Norman on Saturday.
All right. So, Andy, look, man, I know that you have to be on another show here in just a little bit. Thank you for taking time to join us. We will let you get out of here so that you won't be late to your next interview.
Thank you.
And good luck to Auburn War Eagle, and enjoy your time out there in Norman, Oklahoma.
Always appreciate our time, guys. Have a great one, War Eagle.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Andy. Take care, bud.
So that is going to wrap up the Auburn and Oklahoma preview show. I really do want to thank Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, who you just heard, and then Jackson Hale James Hale from Oklahoma earlier on in the show. When we come back on the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show, we are going to be previewing Arkansas and Memphis, because that game has not been played in 32 years. So we are going to do a non-conference matchup in the SEC, because that game was a rivalry and it has not been played in quite a while.
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned it on the show before. Arkansas was supposed to return that game to Memphis there at the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee. They were supposed to return that game, I believe, in 1992, yeah, and refused to do it. And how the contract was written, they kept pushing it back. Memphis had some terrible teams,
yeah,
over the last 30 years. And Arkansas refused to return that game. Tons of Arkansas fans are in the Memphis area. Tons. Yeah. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And now Memphis is good, and they're like, okay, well, we're going to return the game. Don't understand it, but you know what? I'm looking forward to it.
And, hey, we're going to dive into it tomorrow evening on the Stingray Show. We will be back at 6 p.m. And for James out there, I do want to let you know, we are not Auburn guys. We are an SEC show, and we will continue our SEC coverage tomorrow evening at 6 p.m.
Almost, even you got an Auburn helmet back there lit up. You got a tiger behind you. You're wearing an Auburn shirt. You know, I don't know. I don't know, Steven.
Dude, I do that for every team.
I do know that.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. We will catch you tomorrow evening, Tuscaloosa. Be back then.
But you didn't do it for Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner.
Dude, it's so hard to get Oklahoma stuff here, though.
That's why we got the Amazons, man.
Hey, you.